This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Milky Way Mixer. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Bradenton, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Good show set up for you this morning. Coming up in hour number four, we'll have back-to-back guests. Dan Dockich is going to join us, sports radio host and college basketball analyst. He's an Indy, and so we'll get his thoughts on the Colts acquiring Carson Wentz, but also college basketball. We are a week away from March. At this time, next Monday, it will be March 1 already, and so out of the throes of the winter into March and a bouncing college basketball. Crazy to think, but we have not had an NCAA tournament in 2 years, and so bring it to me. Even though it won't be quite the same, even though we won't have fans in attendance, it's still March Madness. It's still ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ba-bum, ba-da-da-da. So give it to me, shoot it directly into my veins. Dan Dockich starts off our college basketball countdown to March this morning on the show. Also, former NFL Executive of the Year, Randy Mueller, is going to join us also in hour number four. Now, Randy's been an NFL Executive of the Year. He's been an NFL GM. This is a guy that understands front offices around the league. Let's talk to him about some of the quarterback changes already this year. Matthew Stafford to Los Angeles, Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, and much, much more. We'll talk to him about this offseason that some have said could be the wackiest ever in the NFL. He's also going to join us in hour number four. Before we get there, we have Cam Newton handling a heckler over the weekend. We have Jim Boeheim taking shots at a Duke player. We have the Panthers perhaps clearing the way to acquire a big QB this offseason. Deion Sanders has a bizarre stolen stuff story. It's a lot of S's. That's alliteration on a Monday morning. Also, the Cowboys playing with fire with Dak's contract. Patrick Mahomes has some awkward photos now that he is having his child, and much, much more this morning on the show. So a lot to get to, plus the Pelicans with an impressive very impressive historic comeback last night over the Celtics on a Sunday in the NBA. So a bunch to get to. Now, if you want to jump in on any of those topics, let's do it. Your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, good way to always get a hold of me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Last week, at the end of the week, the big story was, as I just mentioned before, Carson Wentz is now a member of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Eagles really didn't have a lot of trade partners, which was interesting. Carson Wentz might have played at a MVP level in 2017. It might have been the number two pick in the draft. But in terms of trade partners, there was pretty tepid interest for Carson Wentz on the open market. It was basically only Indianapolis. And perhaps that was partially because Carson Wentz only wanted to go into Indianapolis. And so he may have made it really difficult or vetoed other trades to go elsewhere. But ultimately, for Carson Wentz, a guy that the Eagles traded up for a bunch of draft picks to get and traded away players to go get. They gave away a lot of assets to get Wentz. 5 years later, they could only get a 2 and a 3. Now, the second round pick can turn into a first if Carson Wentz plays in 70% of the Colts games next year and the Colts make the playoffs, or just 75% of their snaps in general, even if they don't make the playoffs. So I think it's probable that turns into a 1. Probable. I think the Colts will either make the playoffs with a Jacoby Brissett, or you have Carson Wentz under center for 70% of the snaps. I mean, obviously, if Wentz is a problem, then he's not going to play in those snaps. And so if he's a real problem, then the Colts didn't have to give up a first rounder for him. So getting that in return apparently was a disappointment for the Eagles. Reports came out over the weekend that they were unhappy with the return. Tim McManus, who's an NFL insider, said they are not thrilled. They recognize the return they got versus what they invested in him does not match up. The reality is they were selling at a low point. Carson Wentz was coming off one of the worst years of his career, one of the worst years of any quarterback in the NFL last year. Yeah, it wasn't one of the worst of his career. It was the worst of his career. And he also had a huge contract. The Eagles had to eat some of that. He also didn't take kindly to whatever brand of coaching he was getting in Philadelphia. And there were also plenty of rumors sprinkled throughout that he was not being a good teammate or a good leader. So when the Eagles look back at last week, and now they try to turn the page to either Jalen Hurts or whoever they use with that number 6 pick in the draft, and we look back on last week's return, should the Eagles be bummed? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
I think that the Eagles arrived at that point where they said, you know, if we have both these guys in the locker room, it's going to be a problem. And Carson's contract was also a problem for a team that's cap-strapped and has to essentially start over, I think. Better to do that, wish Carson well in the future, get something for him while you can, which was, you know, it's valuable enough currency, that's for sure, and then, you know, move on. Now, maybe the incumbent right now is not the quarterback of the future. We'll find that out, but I think they did what they had to do in order to avoid a quarterback controversy, especially in a city like Philadelphia where the media is so vociferous. I mean, they would have been in the locker room constantly just beating on that to the point where nobody could concentrate on anything else.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's Pro Football Hall of Famer Bill Polian on SiriusXM. So I understand why the Eagles did this for all of those reasons that Polian listed out there. I don't think they have to be thrilled with what happened in terms of the return, though, and here's why. Physically getting perhaps a 1 and a 3, I mean, that's fine. If you get a first rounder for Carson Wentz, that's fine. That's where his value is. A first, okay, and a third, It's not great, but it's something, and at least you get a first rounder in return, even if it is at the bottom of the draft, which we would expect a Colts pick to be. I think if you're bummed, it's for two reasons. Number one, that there wasn't a bidding war on Carson Wentz. That you have a young 27-year-old, previously franchise QB, that just came off maybe statistically the worst season of his career, but actually the healthiest season of his career. And there was only one team that really wanted to get into the bidding. Now, part of that is because of Carson Wentz's desire to go to that one place. But here's why, if I'm the Eagles, I'm more bummed than my return. I'm bummed that I gave up multiple draft assets and multiple players to go get Carson Wentz. And 5 years later, the carpet was on fire to where I couldn't bring him back, even though I fired the head coach that he butted heads with. And that's, to me, where the Eagles have to look at themselves in the mirror, and I don't know if they will. Will Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, take a hard look at himself and his loyalty to Howie Roseman? Will he take a hard look at Roseman? Will he take a hard look at the roster that surrounded Carson Wentz and the coaching that surrounded Carson Wentz and ask this difficult question? Did we have a hand in the ruination of Wentz? Because that's ultimately why they only got back a 1-3. You're never supposed to sell at the very base value of your commodity, which is exactly what the Eagles did. They sold at a time when Wentz's contract number was high and his value on the field was very low. So it was poor timing, but they had to, and they couldn't stomach keeping him because of all of the things that Polian just listed out. And that is a question that is Lurie and Roseman willing to look at themselves and ask those difficult questions. That's why they should be bummed. Forget the return. Where they should be bummed is we fostered a situation here. And yes, Lurie needs to ask himself his accountability because he has kept Howie Roseman in control and said, Peterson lost his job. We had to trade Carson Wentz. We had to start over with a new head coach and a first-time head coach. The offensive line needs help. We held on to guys too long. The roster of the 2017 Super Bowl champs eroded. What did we do here? What were our problems here? And I don't know if Roseman has that type of self-reflection. You know, he has always seemed like a guy that had a huge ego and said, I got it. I'll do it my way. I'm right. You are wrong. I don't know if Roseman has that accountability. I really don't. And you know, from an Eagle standpoint in terms of fixing this, look, it's not that you can't get better quarterbacking than what Carson Wentz gave you last year. God knows, he was a disaster. An absolute disaster. So if he is statistically the worst starting quarterback in the NFL, it's not going to be hard to get better than that, whether it's Jalen Hurts or somebody you draft or somebody you bring in or whatever. That's not going to be hard to replicate. What you have to ask is the parts around the quarterback, are they a situation that's a winnable situation? And I think you can look at this and say no. I think you can look around and say, boy, the skill positions, that's a low spot. That's a thin spot of the roster. We don't have wide receivers. We now with the Zach Ertz situation as well, we just lost a tight end. Now, granted, his productivity has gone down over the last couple of years. We feel like we've got a young guy to step in for him, but it's not like we have a plethora of options there. We have an offensive line that right now has been an absolute turnstile. Maybe with health, it's a little bit better, but what are we looking at there? Defensively, what difference makers do we have? And we just hired a head coach, Nick Sirianni, that has direct ties to, guess who? Carson Wentz. We now had a trade. Is Sirianni really the guy that's a solution here, the solution that we wanted? If Carson Wentz isn't here, I hope that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie hired Nick Sirianni with the knowledge that they probably wouldn't have Carson Wentz back and that he's their guy anyway, But obviously there was a connection between Wentz's great year in 2017, Frank Reich, and direct line to Sirianni. So these are all questions. Did they understand all of this before they made this deal and before they made that Sirianni hire, before they put that staff together? And do they understand that the reason it got so sideways was at least partially their fault, maybe primarily their fault? That's why you should be bummed. You had a role in this getting to this point. I mean, look, you put all that draft capital into getting Carson Wentz. You spend all of that money on his extension. You should be prepared to have Wentz as your franchise QB for a long time. And instead, you've got to sell low on him for a 1 and a 2 or a 1 and a 3 or a 2 and a 3. That's a terrible look for the Eagles. Terrible. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. So we'll get to some NBA coming up here a little bit later on in the hour. But when we come back, it was a tough weekend for another NFL quarterback. Cam Newton, video goes viral of him getting heckled at his own camp. And he's getting heckled by a teenager, and it's awkward. We've got the audio next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, Mornings, Mothership.
Hey, good morning, DA. Love your takes. Kind of a recent listener to your program, and I love it. You're awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Aw. Doing More is sponsored by the Home Depot for savings on the latest appliances from the kitchen to the laundry room. Your appliance upgrade is well within reach. Save on top appliances now with the Home Depot. How doers get more done. How about the Toronto Raptors? Big 110-103 win over the Eastern Conference leading 76ers yesterday. It's their fourth straight victory. Fred Van Vliet leading the way with 23. The Raptors currently fifth in the East. Funky on a Monday morning. Remember that the DA show is available on your phone. You can watch us at watchda.com. That's available on any device, including your phone, watchda.com. No sign up needed, no cable provider needed, so you can watch the simulcast. Also, you can stream us using the radio.com app, so check us out on your phone. You can also listen to podcasts of the show each and every day, full episodes or the very best of. So over the weekend, video went viral of Cam Newton at a camp. It was at a football camp, and Cam is walking by the sidelines, and there's a number of campers in football uniform standing on the sidelines, and they are kind of talking to one another. And then one kid, who appears to be a high schooler, young high schooler, maybe a 9th or 10th grader perhaps, maybe a little older, I'm not sure, but either way, a youngster, and he is chirping at Cam Newton. And this is a very kind of awkward situation because Cam obviously does not have a job right now. And this kid starts yelling at Cam Newton, "You sorry." And he says, "You're a free agent. You're a free agent." And then says to Cam Newton, "You're ass and you're about to be poor." Cam's response is pretty smiley, but still you could tell that he's kind of perturbed. He is smiling by saying, "I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich." I would say no parties look great here. Let's play the audio for you. It might be a little confusing to hear, but I still wanted to play the audio for you.
"You ass. You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich. Where's your daddy at? Let me talk to your dad. Let me talk to your dad. Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
You're
a free agent. You ass.
Where's your dad? Where's your pop?
You ass.
Where's the pop? He's asking.
So that is from a South Carolina football camp over the weekend. Okay, I don't think I need to say this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That kid's a tool. Okay? That kid's a clown. Here is Cam Newton, NFL MVP. former NFL MVP. I mean, obviously, to call that guy ass or you're about to be poor is a complete and utter joke. Cam, as we all know, even if he's not what he once was, clearly he isn't, what he has already accomplished both in college and the NFL is about 1,000 times more than what that kid's going to accomplish. And so a little respect here, Junior. Little respect. And you're about to be poor is the stupidest taunt ever because, you know, I'm sure Cam has put away a few dollars. I'm sure he's not about to be poor. Number two, though, I winced when I heard Cam Newton's retort being, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. And see here, look, the kid is in the wrong, obviously. And the kid is looking for some type of attention either from Cam Newton. And he's also probably encouraged by the trash talkers of the NFL and the NBA, knowing that's who gets attention. And maybe he thinks that's how you get Cam Newton's attention. And maybe ultimately he wants Cam Newton's attention in this camp, or he believed that his ticket to the NFL is going to be by being the loudest and the brashest, like a Deion Sanders once upon a time, like a Josh Norman, like all of the wide receivers throughout the years that have chirped and chirped and chirped. Maybe this is what he thinks. But, you know, you got Cam as a grown adult, and his retort is, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Look, Cam's at this camp, and ultimately, you hear Cam in that clip say, where's your daddy at? Let me talk to your daddy. And that's, to me, that's a more appropriate response here, because telling a 15-year-old, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, gives that 15-year-old the exact satisfaction he's looking for. You don't have to tell this 15-year-old or anybody at this camp that you're rich, Cam, because that goes without saying. You're an NFL quarterback. You don't need to remind anybody of how rich you are. We see it with every press conference. Every. Nobody dresses like that unless they're rich. Okay? Whether this corduroy suit and hand watch from a Zephyr in the 1840s is going to match my Mr. Peanut hat and my monocle, those are rich people problems. Okay? Those are rich people problems. But number two, after Cam kind of understands that he gets caught in a bad looking moment and afterwards starts to approach that kid, and it's also caught on camera, and asks, hey, what did you do? What did you do in this camp? What did your weekend look like? What did you accomplish? And the kid is clearly caught off guard, doesn't really know what to say. So the kid is just trying to get Cam's attention, not really trying to engage in a conversation. It kind of has to be broken up by one of the counselors slash coaches. And it's just awkward. And I think, you know, ultimately, this is kind of a lesson for professional athletes, that the message should never be that you need to prove to everybody that you're rich, that ultimately is not what the message should ever be, the learning lesson should ever be, that shouldn't ever be, this is the only thing that matters, I'm rich. Cam's actually a really, really well-thought guy. We've seen this many times in the past. The win there is to be above a 15-year-old saying you're going to be poor because it's so utterly ridiculous. The win there is to be like, hey, kid, if you want to talk football, we'll talk football. But other than that, I'm not engaging in this trash talk because it's insane. He's trash talking the guy that's leading the camp that he's at. I don't know if he had to pay to get to this camp or not, but you're actively participating in a camp of Cam Newton's. Why you would trash talk Cam Newton is self-defeating. But again, that's what a 15-year-old does. The message from all of these professional athletes should never be, let's flex on the kids or flex on anybody that, hey, we're rich. We know that, and that's not the win here. The win is that if you're at a camp and you are a teacher and you are a mentor, it goes beyond just the football or the sports. If you are a teacher, here's a good teaching moment. It's not about the money, dude. It's about the football. It's about the mentorship, and it's about the leadership, and it's about the professionalism, and it's about being the best version of what an NFL athlete is. And Cam is that. He just gets caught in a bad moment there where he feels like he has to flex on a kid. But afterwards, when he comes up to the kid and says, okay, let's have a conversation about football. What you do this weekend? What your team do this weekend? What position you want to play? That's where the learning can happen. And that's where the other kids can see, oh, okay, this is how an NFL player handles himself. It's not about barking at one another who makes most money. We know Cam makes the most money. It's about those kids witnessing a professional athlete and what he does at a moment where he's getting badgered. And those kids are up close and personal with that experience, and that can be the value. Bizarre. I mean, imagine attending a camp with Cam Newton as a youth football player and trash-talking Cam Newton for non-football reasons? Bizarre. Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish, who's going to whip us around some interesting NBA action over the weekend. AB, good morning.
DA, good morning. How about a late-night coaching change in the NBA? The T-Wolves canning Ryan Saunders after a 103-99 loss at the Knicks, but not until after Saunders answered questions from the media as if he'd still be the coach today.
You grow, you know, on a daily basis. We got to learn from it. I mean, once again, we got more learning experiences to go over tomorrow in film.
Yeah, they might watch film today, but not with Ryan Saunders. With the T-Wolves, a league worst 7-20 for this season, 43-94 overall under Saunders. Minnesota also has his replacement already, reportedly hiring Raptors assistant Chris Finch. He's expected to take over today. He'll be the first assistant to take the top spot on another team during a season since Lionel Hollins went from the Milwaukee bench to Grizzlies head coach back in 2009.
Here's what I was shocked to read about this story is that Saunders has been the head coach of the T-Wolves since February 2019, so about 2 years. He has had both Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell on the floor together five times. Five games he's had those two guys together. I'm not saying that Saunders is a great coach, but kind of hard to win when your two best players have never played together basically in two seasons.
Yeah, so one thing I'll say about that, because I had to go back and double check because that didn't make sense when I read it. That sentence is wrong in the story. They traded for Russell last February, so February of 2020.
Right.
And then between the shutdown and injuries and COVID this year, so it's only five games, and they didn't play in the bubble last year. It's only five games from February and March of last season and the beginning of this year because Russell has a knee injury and Cat Towns has had COVID for multiple weeks.
And his own wrist injury too, yeah.
Right, so it seemed that sentence is off by a year. It makes it seem impossible they only played five games together in that time frame, but it's actually a shorter time frame. But still, it's only five games with your two best players, so of course they're going to stink.
Yeah, they could have only played together the last calendar year, but I think the point is that Saunders is being judged on 2 years as a head coach where, in totality, he only had the two good guys for five total games together.
Right, but there's a lot of games before D'Angelo Russell was a T-Wolf that they were losing before he even got there.
Yep.
Back on the floor last night, the Nets finished off a perfect five-game road trip with a 112-108 win at the Clippers. James Harden, 37 points, 28 for Kyrie Irving, as Brooklyn won its sixth in a row overall. Trae Young, 35 points, 15 assists, as the Hawks outscored the Nuggets, 123-115. Denver has dropped 6 of 7 on the road. The Raptors topped the Sixers in Tampa, 110-103 for a fourth straight win. And the Bucks beat the Kings, 128-115. Giannis, 38 points and 18 rebounds for the 1,800 fans in attendance.
They felt amazing. Like, you could feel the crowd from beginning to the end, the energy. We're a different team. When we have our fans and they're out there supporting and cheering for us, I promise you, we're a different team. We feed off out of our fans.
The Bucks have now won two in a row after a five-game skid. We will get to Deion Sanders in full next hour, but there is a continuing update on this story.
Oh my.
After first, saying Deion's personal items were not stolen, just misplaced during his head coaching debut yesterday. Jacksonville State now says they were taken from the locker room but recovered almost immediately. They are reviewing their security setup. All of this happened after Jacksonville State beat a dude named Edward Waters 53-0 in college football. Veteran Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond is opting out of a second consecutive season, possibly foregoing over $13 million in salary. Desmond says his desire to be with his family is stronger than his desire to play, quote, under these conditions. He says he'll monitor the situation and stay in shape in case he changes his mind. Hockey last night, the Bruins, a 7-3 win over the Flyers at Lake Tahoe. Three of those Boston goals from David Pastrnak. Ottawa top Montreal 3-2, and the Jets beat the Canucks 4-3, both those games in overtime. U.S. women's soccer beat Brazil 2-0 at the She Believes Cup in Orlando. Christopher Bell got his first NASCAR Cup victory on the Daytona Road Course, and Max Homa beat Tony Finau in the second playoff hole to claim the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. D.A., back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, A.B. When we come back, Jim Boeheim took a shot at a Duke player and then had to walk it back. We will talk about whether Jim Boeheim was out of line next. D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Friend of the Da Show, NFL Network. Our good friend, Steve White. Steve, good morning.
D to the A. Thanks for having me back in your dojo, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The dojo is opening.
6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, each and every weekday morning, right here on CBS Sports Radio. And a reminder that the DA Show is available on Sirius XM, Channel 206 as well. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. So this is a weird college basketball season, no doubt. The traditional powerhouses are just not going to be those number one and number two seeds that we are so used to. It is a team, a series of teams right now that feels like a lot of people around the country are going to wake up in the middle of March, get set to fill out brackets and go, who's good? There isn't a lot of star power this year in college basketball, and the traditional blue bloods have not been the power teams of college basketball. Gonzaga is the best team in the country. They should be a one. Baylor should be a one as well. They've been the two best teams in college basketball throughout. Ohio State and Michigan, a pair of traditional college football blue bloods, are also potential number one seeds. Alabama, yes, Alabama. Nate Oates' boys, a number two. Illinois, bracketology says Illinois could be a number two. Iowa, a number two, and Villanova, a number two. These are some of the best teams in the country. What you're noticing is I didn't mention Kansas or Duke or North Carolina or the traditional powerhouses like Kentucky, because those teams are either mediocre, below mediocre, or flat out miserable this season. And that hurts because then you don't have the star power of young stars within those programs. They usually churn out a lot of the high-end NBA draft talent. And you don't have those coaches stalking the sideline where you know, well, John Calipari is going to be in the Final Four, or Coach K is going to be in the Final Four, or Roy Williams is going to be in the Final Four, or Bill Self is going to be in the Final Four. All four of those guys might miss the tournament or just be out in the opening round, opening weekend. That includes Duke star freshman Jalen Johnson, who has left a lot of people frustrated around Durham, that he has not pulled his weight and that he has not seemed to care all that much. And ultimately, Jalen Johnson decided to opt out of the rest of the season. Some people called him a quitter when he did that last week. And so with just a couple of weeks to play in the regular season, for a player to opt out drew the ire of many, and that included Jim Boeheim. Here is the Syracuse head coach, who was on his coach's show on TK99 in Syracuse.
That guy was hurting them, so they actually are much better now without him. He was just doing some things and keeping other people from playing that are good. So they've had two monster wins since he's opted out, and they're playing good basketball. They've got very good talent.
That guy was hurting them, so I actually think they are much better now without him. As you might imagine, an opposing coach calling out a player from a different program like that drew a lot of people's attention, and a lot of people came after Jim Boeheim. And I think, you know, ultimately here's the issue with Boeheim. Boeheim is at a don't care point in his career. He always has been quick with the tongue. He has always been, you ask him a question, you're going to get a blunt assessment. And he has just not cared what other people think for a long time. And now, at this point in his career, in his 70s, he's been the head coach at Syracuse for 4 decades. Again, you ask him a question and he is going to give you a blunt answer. Forget politically correct. Forget what he should say. Forget what the responsible thing to do is. He just shoots from the cuff on everything. He is pure don't care mode. And to me, I mean, Boeheim, you've been in the game long enough. You know that criticizing another team's kid like that is a bad look, and you know it's going to bring a lot of criticism with it. Are you sure you want to go there? And this is what I kind of don't understand about Jim Boeheim. I don't understand why at this point in his career, he continues to kind of fumble through some of these things. You have had so much experience. You have been on that podium for approximately 20 years longer than maybe your next longest tenured compatriot. I mean, I know that Coach K has been there for a really long time as well, and Roy Williams has been between two schools. But, you know, Boeheim has more experience than almost everybody else in college basketball on that podium or talking to the public or on his coach's show. He knows that's going to be bad. He can't just for a moment filter and not talk degradingly about somebody else's college athlete. You know, and this is where the college thing is weird, because we're supposed to refrain from bagging on college athletes too badly, not making it personal, not dragging them, because they are still kids, they're still amateurs. And yet when you have a coach like this willing to drag even another team's player, it feeds into, well, I guess they can get dragged publicly. I guess they can be publicly ripped. And this is where Boeheim gets into a problem, because then Jim Boeheim, upon hearing all the criticism about this, has to walk it back. Oh, well, I was only talking about his basketball. Nothing against Jalen Johnson. The backlash hits, and here comes Boeheim having to walk it back. And that's where it gets weird, because Jay Billis then jumps the defense of Jalen Johnson and says Boeheim was inappropriate. Boeheim has to then go back over this and talk about it. And Boeheim says, no casting aspersion on Jalen Johnson. I haven't even seen Jalen Johnson play this year, to be honest. He's a tremendous player, probably a great pro. I just made the observation, in my opinion, that I thought they played better without him in those two games. Okay, so you can't have a hard take, which is Duke's better off without their star freshman. That's kind of a big take, don't you think? They're better off without perhaps their most talented player because he's not a good teammate and he was standing in the way of other players and they play better without him, and then say, I honestly haven't even watched him play. Like, those two things don't go together. And look, Boeheim has earned what that platform is. He has been there for 40 years. He has won a national championship. He's gone to many, many Final Fours. He's gone to two recent Final Fours. The man can still coach, obviously. But how does it make sense to A, go after another team's player. My only guess is because he's boys with Coach K, the Coach K might have slid him some frustration about Jalen Johnson privately, and this is Boeheim going into that bag of tricks. But how does it make sense to go after another program's kid and then say, I've never watched him play? I really haven't watched him. I mean, come on. It's one or the other. Either you watched him play and you have this opinion on him basketball-wise, or, you know what, I put my foot in my mouth, I'm sorry. It can't be both. And that's what Boeheim tries to do here, and this is, to me, the frustration with Jim Boeheim after so many years. I mean, he's a really smart guy. He's really, really smart. He's pointed and sharp and smart. He knows when he says something, what it's going to do. You know, the Jerry McNamara, we wouldn't win 10 bleeping games with him. He knows exactly that's going to fire people up. He knows when he says something about Carmelo, like in a book he wrote that Carmelo refused to play defense. Well, what do you think that's going to do? And then suddenly it was, well, I think that was taken out of context, and that's not what I meant about Carmelo. And Carmelo actually was a great guy. You know, Boeheim knows the types of things that will happen when he says what he says. And if you call out the star player on Duke when the nation's calling him a quitter, what do you think is going to happen? And then to come back and say, I haven't even seen him play this year, to be honest. Oh, Jim, can you come up with something better than that? Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll talk to Dan Dockich about this story amongst other college basketball things later on in the show, but I bring Andrew Bogish into the fray here as well. AB, are you excited about this year's college basketball tournament because you think it'll be more wide open because the traditional blue bloods aren't in there? Or does it take away some of your interest because the recognizable names aren't going to be the best teams?
Yeah, it's not affecting my excitement level. I mean, I'm just excited that it's going to happen. I'm actually kind of excited by the setup. I think it would be amazing to do this in a normal circumstance where, like, people could travel to Indiana and stay there for weeks and, like, crisscross the state and watch all of these games. The idea in general, where they're going to run this, kind of makes sense to me and seems fun. But these are all general excitements. Whether Duke or North Carolina or Syracuse is not there or there, it's not really going to change my desire to watch or pay attention. It's just harder for me to break down like the bubble right now because of the way the season's gone and how, you know, confusing certain teams have been. So, like, I guess that's been an effect, but the specifics of Duke and Syracuse, whoever else not being there, is not bothering me one bit.
So I think that there will be, for me, just so much excitement getting college basketball's NCAA tournament back for the first time in 2 years. That's just going to feel good to have it back and to hear the theme song and to see those teams going at it and fill out a bracket. But I think ratings are going to be way down because there's going to be no fans in attendance. It's going to be a unique and weird setup, as you said, without it being national. It's going to be located in one spot. Could be cool, but I think it's going to throw people for a loop. And when you don't have Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke and Kansas in it, who knows who to pick in the tournament? And then if you're getting Gonzaga Baylor in a national championship game, we've seen in the past that the numbers are not good. So I think CBS and Turner are in for a world of hurt ratings-wise because the one thing that, you know, saved the NBA bubble was that you still had LeBron and the Lakers playing all the way to the NBA Finals. The Super Bowl still had Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. I think the casual fan in college basketball knows so little about the teams and about the players that without a star player and without Kentucky even being like average, it's going to be tough for people, I think, to watch.
Yeah, but and everyone's numbers are down. So, I mean, it was going to take a hit no matter what, who was there, because that's just the theme, that the trajectory we're going on, where everybody's ratings are down. This is certainly not going to help, which is, I think, the why, in part, they've reconfigured the way this is going to run. They're trying to put more games in prime time to give you a better chance at watching games if you want to watch them.
Yep. When we come back here on the show, Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston. The Texans don't want to trade him, but is there a team lurking with some under-the-radar salary cap moves over the weekend to try to make a move on Watson? We'll talk about it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.